Hey, Tom.
Hey, JC.
So I've been thinking today, which I realize is dangerous.
It's generally a sign of bad things to come.
So I saw this picture that the AEW 812 co-executives took together. And I was like, we need to get us one of those. Like our TV guide, like 90210 cast photo that looks so generic and unrealistic.
It's like, I'm kind of looking at it and like, that's fine, but I want the whole like again, the intro, like the 90210 intro where everybody just does that dramatic turn to face the camera.
that pauses right at the perfect second and the name appears.
Yep.
Quick cut to the next. Yeah. We should do one of those with the entire 328 crew.
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as you boot up either cheatersneverpin.com or section328.com, it just autoplays.
Potentially with the 90210 theme.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. I mean, 90210's back, right?
It is one of the great themes.
Yeah. Either that or Melrose Place, but, you know.
I've never seen an episode of Melrose.
It's good. You should give it a watch. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I'm not saying I've gone back and watched it, but I've totally gone back and watched it.
I'm on like cycle 3 of Psych again, so.
Okay. I just finished Grey's, so I've moved on to House.
Oh, yeah. House was a quality show. I love House. Need to jump into that again.
Yeah.
Because it's not Lupus, except when it is.
Except for that one time.
Except that one time.
It's sad because I've gotten to the point watching it now where, like, as soon as their cold open plays and it's like the, here's the scenario of the person that's coming to the hospital, I'm already like, I remember the diagnosis.
Yeah. Well, that's something me and Tara have gone back and forth on. It's like, because I can remember certain episodes of Psych, and she's like, yeah, this is like, it's completely new to me. She doesn't remember a thing from the last time we've watched it. Wow. So it's all kind of new to her again.
That's nice, though. I wish I had that. It would make it way more enjoyable rather than just background noise.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Psych is one of those shows too where there's so many like Easter eggs in that show. Like, mm-hmm. Even if you've seen it several times, you can kind of look for things. Like, you look for the pineapple, you look for the cheap Snyder's of Hanover pretzel plug and things like that.
Hearing about Psych though takes me back to the good old days of Raw, since that was a USA property.
Yes, the John Cena episode was on, or I want the first John Cena episode because he became a reoccurring character as Juliet's brother. And I think it was like two episodes after that was the Stacy Keibler episode. And let's see, I remember them making a big deal about Stacy Keibler being in, and obviously John Cena was in it. I do not remember the big deal about Mickey James being in it.
Hmm.
Because she was in the roller derby episode. I don't know how well you recall Psych, but
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Psych at all?
I've never seen it. The commercials annoyed me, so I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, it's worth a shot if you're looking for something to kind of, and you may want to jump past the first, or at least go through a couple of episodes of the first season and then get into it, because the pilot was like seemingly like a year before the actual like pickup, and like Lasseter had a partner who only lasted that particular episode, and then Juliet comes in like, you know, the second episode after the pilot. So that's like a lot of shows though. Sometimes you kind of just have to skip the first like half season of the first season.
Well, enough about talking about old TV. Let's talk about Raw reunion tonight.
I'm surprised we didn't have cut-ins for La Femme Nikita and
wouldn't that have been great? Silk Stockings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the
whatever show Edge would be on.
And 10 reminders that next week the show will be preempted by the Kennel show, the Kennel Club show.
Westminster Dog Show.
And the US Open.
Yes.
When that used to be on US. I always remember that from August being really pissed off.
Coming back from like whatever class I had and just flipping it on and just seeing tennis pop. I'm like, damn it. Wow. Yeah. I have to watch Nitro.
What a punishment.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. AEW. We finally got confirmation on their TV date and time.
Wednesday. Spoiler, I just gave it away. We don't have to talk about it.
Right. That's off the list. It's my favorite time of the quarter because WWE released their earnings today.
My favorite part of the podcast because I can turn on the mute and have a drink.
Four times a year, Tom will stop talking. And then we might even take a trip to the Uso Penitentiary.
Which has a permanent spot nowadays.
Shout out to whatever county it was this week.
John Cena warned us all.
Oh, but all that and more on this week's edition of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. But before we start it, Tom, can you do me a favor?
What's that, Jason?
Can you ring the bell for me?
You know it, buddy.
You're listening to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast, a proud part of the Section 328 Network, bringing you all the best in wrestling from WWE, New Japan, and beyond. Now, live from ringside, it's Mr. Workrate and JC.
Oh, buddies.
Bong.
It's the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. My name is JC, here next to me at the commentary table to the stars. My good buddy, Mr. Workrate, Tom.
Great to be here as always, JC.
I almost wanted to work in a newly updated commentary table to the stars joke. I don't know why. It wouldn't have made any sense.
And it would have confused me because I had that sound cue just buried in my head. So you would have said something different over like,
well, I'm sitting.
I?
Yeah. It's because the stinger was playing. The stinger was playing. Funny. As it descended from the rafters. And I glanced over at my TV where the new WWE Network is open. And it made me think of that. That's all.
Yes, the new app, which we'll be discussing later. Yeah. I'm sure in a segue of some variety.
In a very segue moment. We'll get to it. So let's talk about this past Monday. Let's talk about Raw Reunion.
All those memories you had coming, flooding back.
I enjoyed the show. I mean, you have to go into it knowing what it's going to be, right? It's just like I thought too. A lot of times with these reunion shows, they have the tendency to like slam the brakes on stories while they're doing it and just be like, "This is going to be a non-canon kind of romp through the woods this week." But we actually kept things going at the same time. I thought it was well done.
We did. I mean, that it's up to discussion whether or not that was the best idea. I personally would have been fine with a non-canon, let's bring out the old guys and, you know, do whatever and, you know, not bury the new group that we're trying to push and sell new t-shirts for.
Let's talk about that because I don't feel like the OC got buried. I don't feel like that's a burial. They were outnumbered, depending on whatever Road Dogg's final count was, 9 or 10 to 3. They're just being smart and leaving.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, the Revival having to take every single finisher.
Right. There was no physical confrontation, you know. No one threw hands. They were just like, we're not doing this, and they left. And I think that works.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was better, but at the same time, well, I guess you kind of have to do that. That is your compromise. If you don't have the fight, you don't. I mean, especially since you're, you know, leaving it for the end there, you don't have to leave it on a down note, so to speak. Because, I mean, let's face it, OC Club, whatever you want to call them, they're going to be the cool heels. They're not straight up heel. So you don't want them to screw over DX and, you know, the NWO and all those cool heels that you liked before.
Right. And I mean, and you've got to keep the legends still have to look strong, right? You can't tear apart the legacy.
Right. I mean,
and also they can't, most of them can't take a bump anyway.
Yeah, and there's that, and there's the fact that, I mean, these guys have got to get their heat back. By that, I mean the legends have to get their heat back, so you can't have the new guys go over and not have Triple H not get his heat back.
Yeah. I thought that segment was fine. It was DX came out. I thought it was really weird that they came out with the NWO. So the part I was like, what? That just felt odd to me.
We've kind of crossed the streams with the NWO / DX factions. It's just become like the Click times 70 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that was true because they referred to it when Road Dogg was talking about, you know, it's DX and the Click out here. So, I don't know. I just, I saw it happening and I was like, huh? What?
Well, I mean, it's like you had the Click originally that was a not obvious grouping. Then when they split off in their respective directions, half the Click was DX and the other half was the Outsiders. And then you had the DX take on the other members when Sean got hurt. Right. And then you had, obviously, the Outsiders turned into the NWO and took in all those things. So, I mean, they all still have that root in those four guys being the Click, so
yeah. I believe the other part that we need to talk about here, I'm just gonna do this while we do this. Let's talk about the OC because why is that the name?
As it is my youngest son's nickname.
This is all I can picture in my head is this song.
California!
Oh, yeah. When the hook hits, I'll turn it back up. Don't worry about it. But I... Oh, here we go. Here it is. The weird part is... I was like, if they have a mania in California anytime soon, that might actually be kind of a good theme song. you could cut a good promo package to that, right? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm not sure what triggers this, if it's trying to kind of distance itself from Balor Club and that kind of direction where that went in, although Balor Club's been kind of, you know... quieted a bit.
Right.
I don't know how much of it is Club being too similar to Bullet Club and potentially trademark infringements, you know, mm-hmm. being put in there. But I mean, if they got away with Balor Club, they probably could have gotten away with that too. Maybe it was just, you know, a whole restart, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. They said it, and then they kept saying it, and I was like, oh my god, they're really doing this.
suddenly... I mean, I think it may have been a thing of Vince just turning around and going, well, you know, the Club sounds too much like Bullet Club. It sounds like we're trying to kind of copy them.
Yeah.
We gotta rename everything.
All I know is Phantom Planet's going to be really shocked when they get their royalty check from Spotify next month. I've also really enjoyed everyone cutting OC Titantron videos to that song on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's been entertaining. Also entertaining, the 24/7 title, Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
We knew this would happen.
Yes.
And it did.
In the true heritage of the hardcore title.
Yeah. Was it were nine? Was it eight or nine title changes? I can't remember the exact number.
That was nine.
I think that's right. I was very happy to see Patterson and Briscoe each get their turn.
Yes.
especially Briscoe's celebration afterward, where he's like, yeah, yeah, whatever that noise he made was. It was just old man cheering noise. Before he immediately loses it to the first ever women's 24/7 champion, Kelly Kelly.
Because if you're going to lose a title and have somebody lay on top of you, it might as well be Kelly Kelly.
There you go.
That's my Gerald Briscoe impression, by the way.
Okay. I like it. It's not bad. It's a much younger Briscoe.
It's Attitude Era Briscoe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I need to go a little bit slower, maybe.
It's not
Mr. McMahon.
It's not 2019 Gerald Briscoe going, Yarr.
Pirate Briscoe.
Yeah. And then, let's see. She lost it to Candice Michelle, who lost it to Alundra Blaze. I don't want to criticize anyone for what they're wearing, but what the hell was Alundra Blaze wearing Monday night? I realize how off topic that was. This is.
I didn't realize it was her.
It took me a minute, too. I was like,
I thought it was Ivory doing, like, the right to censor thing.
Oh, it did kind of look like that, didn't it? It was just a really odd outfit choice. I was like, okay.
Like, if it were pants, not a skirt, I would have sworn it was, like...
Yeah. It's because the black with just the white collar, right?
Yeah. And also, I guess I'm used to Medusa having red, white, and blue something, or just driving a monster truck. I don't know.
I'm not sure who Medusa is. This was Alundra Blaze, Tom.
I'm sorry, Alundra Blaze.
Thank you. And of course, she wins it just to put it into a trash can. And I'm like, really? That was the only part of this that I was like, why would you have her win it just to put it in a trash can?
But it didn't happen, did it?
No, because everyone has a price. Yeah. DiBiase wins WWE Championship in 2019. Someone made an interesting comment on Reddit as soon as it happened. Yeah. They were like, wait, hold on.
I was going to say, who is going to have to bring this up? You or me? You got it.
So we're officially recognizing Ted DiBiase as a 24/7 champion for one that he bought. So do we need to retcon Jack Tunney making him vacate the title when he bought it from Andre and say he was the WWF champion?
We need a kayfabe lawyer is what we need.
Yeah. Can IRS handle that? I don't know. He was an accountant, I guess.
Yeah.
Can DX Rick Rude handle it? He looked like a lawyer.
There's something in that briefcase that would probably overturn that.
There's nothing but a... Screwed the joke up. What are the pills you keep in your fanny pack? Soma.
Somas?
Thank you. Kevin Nash had his fanny pack. Rick Rude had a briefcase.
So, one of the things about DiBiase is he perfectly launched into his laugh after he made the purchase. So, he does the laugh into the microphone, and mid-laugh, the music kicks in, which starts off with the laugh. So you had like this double echo, and DiBiase still nails the laugh.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounded just like it did in like 1987, mm-hmm. which is awesome. Yep. But like, it was like the double echo. It's like we've broken the space time continuum here.
But R-Truth leaves with the belt and Drake Maverick's wife. He leaves with Drake Maverick's baby and his wife. And then Drake Maverick confuses Carmella for his wife, which didn't get a huge laugh in the crowd because I think they were still recovering from R-Truth winning. But I saw it on TV. I was like, "What?" So that was fun.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
The show started with the Usos and Cena rapping, which was fun. Timely.
It was good to see John Cena again.
Yeah, I think I even texted you this Monday. Yeah. Like, all last week, too, I was like, you know who I'd like to see back right now? Cena. And then it happened. I'm like, I'm good. I mean, I'd like him to come back and have a run. Like, if he came back and had a four-week run to SummerSlam and then went away again, I'd be like, cool.
I mean, we get Taker, but we don't get to have Cena.
Yeah. Because you put Cena in a, you know, Cena's good in small doses. This is fine.
I think his time away has really helped because, I mean, Cena for the longest time was eye roll, why is he here? John Cena always wins, that type of thing. And now that he's gone, we're like, man, kind of miss him now.
Yeah.
And again, in an outside kind of role in that, like, doesn't need to be in the title picture, but, you know, comes in for, like, the big four. It'd be fun, you know?
Yeah.
So, not even necessarily the big four now, because he's got better things to do. Yeah. But
He raps about the Usos getting arrested. And then one of them got arrested.
Only one gets arrested.
Yeah, it's only Jimmy picking up his third DUI this week.
not all this week. That would
no.
Be really bad.
It's his first one this year. It's his second arrest this year, though. So, lest you forget the time he bucked up at the cops at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No. And what's the likelihood that anything happens?
Zero.
Yeah.
WWE will release the same statement they always do and be like, the superstars are responsible for their own personal actions. It'll be the same statement we got from Hardy when he got arrested a couple weeks ago. Which then the Horry County DA dropped the charges. But that's right. Myrtle Beach is in Horry County. I knew that. Let's see. What else happened on Raw Reunion? What else? Sami Zayn got driven back into the ring by RVD, who was on another planet.
As I said on Twitter, RVD had been replaced by Create a Wrestler RVD.
He was high.
He was burnt.
It was, let's see, who came out? It was him, Slaughter, Angle, and Hurricane. Right. Shane Helms.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I thought it was even better when immediately after that we had our typical Street Profits segment backstage, and they were just talking about partying with RVD. That was good. That was appreciated.
Yeah.
We got to see Bischoff proposition Maria Kanellis to come to SmackDown Live, which I was like, ooh, that's fun. A little insider acknowledgement.
I'd say something, but like, I still am not really sure what Eric Bischoff does, so.
He's the executive director of SmackDown Live.
Okay. I don't know what that means.
Well, I'll get to it because I came up today.
Okay.
So, yeah. Let's see, what else? Of course, the end, right? The toast to Raw, which had Ric Flair in a segment where there's a toast. That's a rib, brother.
Yeah.
Speaking of brothers, Hulk Hogan was there. Because, I guess it's good now. I don't know.
Well, he's a caricature now, so we could kind of drag him out and hopefully not have him on for too long. And
yeah, he cut a quick promo, whatever, and then he was done. And then Stone Cold came out, drank some beers. I think he was already a little drunk.
No.
It was nice to have Stone Cold come out and talk for a little bit. Rather than, I think, you know, at Raw 25, he just came out and stunned McMahon and moved on.
Was he looking for cougars?
I don't have it queued up, Tom. CougarLife.com.
They're looking for you.
But I thought that was fun. It was just fun to, you know.
It was a fun show.
WWE patting itself on the back in that last segment, but who cares? They get the right to do that after, you know, 26 years of the show. But yeah, it was enjoyable.
I've seen people that took issue with it. Like, all these reunion shows, and just enjoy it for what it is and get over it. I mean, if you're that hardcore into the new product and don't want to acknowledge the older product, fine. You miss a week.
Yeah. read the recap the next day and be like, okay, here's the story that happened. Cool. I will say the one current story thing that happened in the show with Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. I'm gonna need that feud.
Samoa Joe versus Samoan Joe?
Yes. I think I texted Samoa Joe versus Joe the Samoan.
Yeah. You know how we do it on the island.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's such a good story. And it's simple. It was like, you dissed my family. Yeah, well, your family sucks. All right, let's fight. Like, that's all you need.
It's a shame this isn't the 80s, because we would have had, like, a Samoan death match with, like, I don't know, like, pineapples and flaming tiki torches. And
I can't remember where I saw it when it was happening, but it was like, so if they headbutt each other, does the building explode?
The ring collapses, like, okay. The Big Show.
All right. Makes sense. AEW has, or I guess TNT, officially made the announcement that AEW will air Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock every week.
The former Savio Vega?
What?
Oh, TNT. You mean TNT,
I mean the network, yes. Turner Network Television, a division of Warner Media.
Sorry, I dropped an old World Wrestling Council reference.
You did that. It took me a second. The show not called Wednesday Night Dynamite, at least at this point, thank God.
Until they acquire Dixie Carter and make it Dixie Dynamite.
That sounds like a video I get from the back of Blockbuster.
What's a Blockbuster?
I just dated myself. I was going to say Action Video, but then I realized that was a real specific dated reference to a small local video chain in Winston-Salem.
Is that the one that's still around? Because there's like...
There's still Family Video.
I was going to say, as I've been touring the great state of North Carolina, there is like one chain of like video stores that's still around, and maybe it is that Family Video.
Yeah, I think it is, because I think there's still one in Winston.
I know there's one in Concord near where my mom lives.
Yeah, it's got to be that. So that'd be cool. It's from a different city each week, they said. Opening in Washington, D.C., at Capital One Arena.
So we're doing actual, like, major houses.
Yeah, and here's what kills me, too. They've said publicly, well, you know, we don't want to do arenas every time because we want the show to look different and feel different every week in this net, which I think is a lot of extra work on them. And also, if I'm TNT, I want a unified look every week to identify the show.
Right.
But...
I think putting it in a larger arena for the first show is wise, because they'll sell that out.
Yeah. Yeah, it should.
And then hit 4,000, 5,000 house places.
I think they can easily hit the average WWE number every week, right? For a Raw, let's say. Like that 8,000 or 9,000.
You could hit that. At least to start off with for the first few months or whatever. But
The first show is going to sell out. Because it's their first episode.
Yep.
Like, okay, cool.
Because you know there's going to be a lot of stuff happening on that first episode, too. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, the first episode of any wrestling show or whatever.
Right, yeah. So it'll be kind of neat to see. The Melts reporting. Yeah, they're going to do 4 pay-per-views a year. 51 weeks of television. 51. And then house shows on Saturday. Now here's my thing. Brandy and Tony Khan have both said independently, they're not running house shows. Dave also said a lot of things in the past and lied about them. So yeah.
Plans change.
Oh yeah, I couldn't make the timing happen at all. I don't work for them. All right, but yeah. So AEW progressing forward here. We already talked about the hilarious picture.
Yeah, I mean it's something to look forward to. They've got a plan set. They've got money behind them. So all right, let's get it rolling.
We're what I guess, 3 months away from it finally becoming an actual thing.
Yeah.
So, Tommy, you go ahead and mute yourself. It's time for my favorite part of the quarter. I guess you did. There we go. Yes.
I didn't know I needed to announce, and now.
All right. Here we go. Quick bullet points. WWE Q2 financials for this year. I realize this is a recorded podcast. I can hear people hitting that 30-second skip button everywhere several times. Let's see. Year-over-year decrease in revenue for Q2, $268.9 million. $1.69 million average paid WWE Network subscribers at the end of the quarter.
Nice. I unmuted just for that.
You did. That killed me. The decrease... it's a 5% decrease year over year to from 281.6 million last year due to declines in media, live events, and consumer products divisions, which was said multiple times on the call. 17.1 million operating income, down about 4 million from the prior year. $34.6 million adjusted OIBDA, which is how they measure profit, which is higher. So they made less money, but they took in less money, but made more money. So that's good. They're still looking for full year guidance of $1 billion revenue and $200 million adjusted OIBDA, which is crazy. They're saying they put in a $10 to $20 million downside potential based on if they can pull off a second large scale international event, so Saudi Arabia in September, and a media rights deal in the Middle East, North Africa region as well, which apparently there's verbal agreements, but nothing's in writing. So now I thought the Saudi Arabia deal was two shows a year, period. Apparently it's not. Network subscribers down 6%. They expect it to continue to fall this quarter to get to 1.53 million. They're saying they're not expecting a record number this year, which I thought was an interesting thing for them to actually say out loud. 17% increase in digital video views to 9 billion. 22% increase in consumed hours to 324 million across all digital platforms, presumably including YouTube, social media, and WWE Network. 10% increase in social media followers. Oh boy. And of course, they've got all their new media rights agreements and distribution deals. The big talk at the beginning was Berrios presenting the June improvements to ratings compared to where the quarter started. 76 events were held in Q2, 53 in North America, 23 internationally, down 90 from the previous year. Average attendance in North America was 5,800, down 2%. Average international attendance was 4,900, down 14%. Merchandise sales also down 13% year over year, attributed to lower online sales, lower toy product royalties, and less live events to sell merchandise at. I mean, overall, it seems like it's kind of a down quarter, but it's status quo. A lot of the concern, too, their free cash flow was significantly, I think it was $60 million different from the last quarter. They attribute that to the timing of the last event in Saudi Arabia, and with it not going into accounts receivable until very late in the quarter, so they're not fully collected on that. But the network stuff is interesting, that they're finally going, yeah, this is not the year for the network this year.
So, are we done?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done just spouting off numbers.
Okay. Yeah. So, speaking of the network... I didn't realize that they had switched platforms from going from, I want to say MLB Advanced Media, mm-hmm. which is now Disney owned, to whatever the company that they are now.
Yeah. There's...
But apparently part of that, is kind of almost a rehashing of the network in general, where updates to the various apps have been pushed out starting today. The iOS app update came out today.
Android,
the Roku app, praise God, came out today. The Roku app, I think, was running off of a 2014 build.
Yeah. I know I've seen also the Apple or the tvOS app has been updated. Like I said, I'm looking at my Xbox now, which is the updated app.
Amazon TV, not yet.
I should check. I could run into a different room and check it.
Yeah, I checked before we went on air. So, I mean, if it's possible that, you know, something came out in the last hour or so. But and I saw that the last time it had been updated was last year. So, and the Amazon app wasn't, I think that was probably the most current looking app in regards to being able to kind of hop around shows and that type of thing, where the Roku app just was, it was fast forward and, you know, rewind. That's all you had. Just a clunky interface in general. So the new interface, it's going to take a little getting used to because it is a different outlay. We were discussing before. Some things that were easy to find, like hidden gems, are not so easy to find anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's possible that those could be being repackaged in general.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of stuff is still, they're still kind of migrating.
Right.
A lot of the little stuff, like having a hidden gems kind of feature, I cannot find it anywhere on my Xbox. I haven't tried to look it up in iOS yet. The search function, at least, it looks a little more intelligent trying to use it.
Hidden gems, I was not able to find in iOS. I found it easily on the Roku app. So, it may be on some, not on others, mm-hmm. and eventually it'll kind of migrate over for everybody.
It's a really nice unified experience across all platforms, finally. I was telling you, we talked about it. We're looking for hidden gems before we started recording, like Tom was talking about. I was also telling Tom, I like the, where you can favorite superstars. So if I want to go in and just watch a bunch of AJ Styles stuff, I can just go to his page. His bio comes up. There's a bunch of videos linked to him. It's a neat little feature. If you're like, I want to watch a bunch of this. And even like, so all of your Hall of Fame and alumni are in there too. So if you really wanted to go back and do like a marathon of someone, you could do it easily, which is nice.
Yeah, it was still a little clunky, at least on the Roku when I pulled it up, because I went to Hall of Fame and it still showed everybody.
Yeah, I think it definitely, in the app on the Xbox has crashed on me numerous times. I think it's still, I think everything's still kind of coming up to speed. So in a couple days I'll have a better kind of, oh, there's Hall of Fame. Yeah, there's everybody.
I'm pretty sure this is a typical beta release that isn't called a beta release, where they get it close enough to being ready, they put it out there, and then they kind of go online and listen to all the complaints and go, okay, these are the things that we screwed up, and the true release will come out in like another week or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're switching providers, so there's, you know, there's a lot going on in the back end that we don't know about. So, but hey, as long as it's up and stable in a couple days, it's all good. You made it through you made it through Wednesday, which is the last kind of big day of the week for you when you don't have any pay per view. As long as it's ready by Saturday for Smackville. We're good to go.
And again, it is a good interface, especially going off of Roku. It is much better kind of advertising the things that they have. Like when you would go into the Roku app, again, because it was so aged, it was just kind of like a list. And like if they were pushing something new, the difference, say, with the Amazon TV one, where if the moment you opened up the WWE app on Amazon TV, you had whatever particular thing they happened to be pushing, like, mm-hmm. you know, the most recent pay-per-view that came up or something like that. You didn't even necessarily have that on Roku. Now you have, it's when you go onto the app, it's more along the lines of almost like the at least the iOS app too, that it's almost like going to say like WWE.com where they're pushing recent things. Here are some things that just got uploaded, like the Pro Wrestling USA show from 85 that would be in Hidden Gems if Hidden Gems still kind of existed or whatever.
Right.
This that was the most recent thing. So you get somebody like me that subscribes to, or not subscribes, but follows that that WWE Network update spot on Twitter to see when things get dropped. Now you can actually just go onto the main page and go, oh, here are the things that just got uploaded, mm-hmm. and they're right there.
Yep. The mobile apps are definitely network-centric now, whereas before they were the WWE.com news-centric.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting change. They've also removed the ability to just see the live event calendar. If you hit more, there is a button you can click there that basically takes you to the page on WWE.com, but it's not native to the app anymore.
Well, there is talk, and it hasn't been announced officially, I don't think, yet, or maybe it was on the call, about a different tier system in regards to the network, how there would be
so,
like a free and a VIP to go along with their regular subscription.
Yes, this was all kind of talked about starting at the Business Partner Summit during WrestleMania week, the network kind of 2.0 vision, and George Berrios, Michelle Wilson elaborated on a lot today. The whole transition starts with updating the platform like they've done today. Then the next, they said over the next year, depending on how the rollout goes, within 12 months, all of this could be completed. They're going to add a free tier to the network first, which I'm sure who knows what it'll be. You'll probably be able to view the YouTube stuff and the superstar pages, right? I would assume is what'll happen there.
But see, that's what I thought. If you're starting to, on the iOS side, start to replace the news, so to speak, with something more network focused, then that's what you're still going to be using the network for news that way.
Right.
So you're going to have current things. And then as a non-subscriber, you're going to be able to see the things that you would normally see on like the news section of the WWE app, mm-hmm. except it's going to be part of the network.
Right.
And then if you want to see more, then, well, you need to subscribe, brother.
Mm-hmm. The next step after that is a premium tier, which there was no really elaboration on what that means. I've seen a lot of people complaining online that, they're obviously going to move the pay-per-views to that, and blah, blah, blah. That will never happen, because that is the worst business strategy you can have, to be like, we're going to create this new tier, and now you have to pay us more. Even if it's $15.99, right? People will rebel. That's a bad business strategy. My assumption would be things like their partner promotions will be on there. So like for $15.99 a month, because then they'll be able to divert the revenue to Evolve and Progress and ICW and all these people they partner with, right?
Yeah. Be able to take some of that money and share in the profit. Because, I mean, that's what we're having. We're having, like, these other promotions that are partnering with them. They obviously don't want to miss out on the income that they would normally get directly from subscribers.
Yeah. And maybe stuff like, the only thing I could see them putting that would be, content like that, something like Smackville, right? Where they're just broadcasting a house show. Put it on the premium. You know what? I could even see them just putting those on the free tier, actually. Right? Because it's going to be an hour show.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It's if you're going to have something, like you said, like an hour, then yeah, put it on that. And maybe potentially put the entire show on something else. But right. Could the free version be like a totally underutilized part? Is the fact that like we don't realize, I think, a lot of times that, you flip it on, you're looking for something in particular, you search through so you can watch it. Technically, WWE Network is a live network that has mm-hmm. shows every hour or so. They have a schedule.
Yep.
So potentially a free tier could have those, that channel basically, or I don't know, maybe if you have something, but I mean, things like that, you don't have access. You don't have the unlimited access to everything, but hey, at like 4 o'clock, here's a cool thing that, like, you know, I caught halfway through. I don't know when they're going to show it again, but if I was a paid subscriber, I'd be able to watch that whenever I wanted to.
And I'm sure they could, I'm sure on the back end, there's probably somewhere they could just, that live stream could be the free tier. And then, you know, some pay-per-views, as soon as 7 o'clock hits, it goes dark. And it's just an ad that says, you know, subscribe.
Or you just have a separate thread where, like, that live thing isn't showing the pay-per-view. It's showing, you know, an old Raw from, like, 2013.
You get to watch the watch-along.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. I'm interested to see where stuff goes with it.
Yeah.
I think updating the platform was highly, highly necessary. It was... It's only 5 years old, but it was, I mean, it was dated when it launched to begin with, right? So.
Yeah. And there, I mean, there have been several surveys that have gone out to subscribers going, what do you like? What do you not like? You know, would you be interested in this? That type of thing. And they've got a lot of data.
Oh, yeah. And I think this will give them a lot more, right? I think part of migrating platforms too, I'm sure they've built in more hooks to be able to read more into people are watching this superstar and this show and this type of show, and they're watching it at these times and see what works. And then the last piece of Network 2.0 was more localization globally and doing more programming and getting things into other languages, which is huge for the long-term growth of the network.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's about it. Otherwise, it's been a kind of a quiet week in wrestling. It's been nice. It's been peaceful.
Maybe New Japan can take a look at that and go, hey, maybe we can help out New Japan...
World
and get something slightly more English centric than Google Translate. Although that's part of the charm, I think.
Is it? I mean, if you're trying to make it a big global product, like part of that is trying to attract the casual, right?
And
if you're trying to
have
that westward expansion, like you've got to make it accessible, and it's not. Using Google Translate is not accessible.
No, and I mean, we're talking about dated apps. New Japan World's app for Amazon TV is still in 1.0 and has never been updated. And nothing has been released for any other platform like Roku or Apple TV or Xbox.
There is a Roku app. No, there is not a Roku app.
There's not.
They have a Chromecast app.
Yeah.
Which is just awful.
Maybe with this ramp up, maybe New Japan can look at that and go, hey, maybe we can do something. I don't know.
Yeah. The G1 is going on. I have not watched any.
Yes. I've watched some. Mainly because I bought a Roku stick for the road. Not a Roku stick, I'm sorry. Amazon Fire Stick for the road. And when I'm in a hotel room and I have nothing better to do, and God, I don't want to watch actual cable television.
Tom, there's a bar.
I've watched bits and pieces.
See, there's a bar rescue marathon every day. Just watch it.
I mean, if I'm not watching The Office reruns on Comedy Central, it's But so we're 8 nights into G1. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we're less than halfway through.
Yeah.
We're almost at the halfway point.
All right.
I mean, in block A, you've got Okada leading right now with 8 points. He's 4-for-4, which is to be expected. Not necessarily expected, I guess. Kenta also 4-for-4 with 8 points. So they're tied for the lead. Kenta's had strong match. He's looked really strong defeating Lance Archer, who Archer, I thought, might have been a little bit stronger in this tournament than he ended up being after beating Will Ospreay. So he kind of had that monster thing going. But
I will say, I haven't watched any full matches, but what I've seen and read, he's kind of the standout star of the tournament so far.
Kenta? Archer?
Thank you. There we go. Ooh, brain turned off for a second.
Yeah. I think they're trying to figure out what they're doing with Archer because, with Davey Jr. gone, Archer doesn't necessarily have a partner, the Killer Elite Squad isn't a thing now. So, he's still part of Suzuki-Gun, which is kind of off on its own and just doing whatever. So I think they were hoping to build something out of that, that monster American type thing. But I'll get into that in a minute. Kenta's had four strong wins against Lance Archer, Evil, Kota Ibushi. Yeah, shock. Good Kota Ibushi match. And Tanahashi. So he's looked really strong. 4 points for Tanahashi, Evil, Archer, and Ibushi. Bringing up the rear, Will Ospreay with two, Sonata with two, Zack Sabre Jr. with two, and Bad Luck Fale with two.
Poor Fale.
So no shutouts. Fale's been strong in past G1s. Last year's was that kind of weird thing where Bullet Club was just being jerks to everybody and Fale was just getting intentionally disqualified. And so that was a whole weird thing. But yeah, Fale lost to Archer so far, defeated Evil, lost to Okada and Zack Sabre. That was Zack's only win so far. So okay. B-Block, or better known as the rebirth of John Moxley. As Moxley leads Block B, undefeated thus far in New Japan.
It's crazy.
4-0. Moxley defeated Jeff Cobb in a relatively short match, 8:54. Defeated Tai Chi in a 7:36 match, which, Tai Chi, that's probably about what you want out of him.
About 4 minutes too long.
Takagi, 14:45 in, I don't know, the two of them just kind of got along interestingly weird. The match you want to go out to see is him facing Ishii.
Okay.
Which is a hard, super, as stiff as you would have imagined, but like one of those stiff, hard-hitting matches, but also just done so well. Ishii works so well, and I've seen a couple different places say that was the best John Moxley / Dean Ambrose match he's had in anyone's recent memory. So it is kind of bringing a rebirth to Moxley here. So, I know he does the AEW stuff too, but he's really shining in New Japan. His weird affiliation with Shota Umino. Red Shoes' Young Lion's son there, where Moxley just kind of like drags him around and Shota's just looking at him like, I don't know what's going on, but okay, I'll do whatever it is that you say. So that's kind of a thing, and that's fun. But Moxley looks like he's enjoying himself out there, and it's great that he's gotten away from WWE. And second place in Block B, another guy who's happy to not be anywhere near WWE / NXT, Juice Robinson, who's having a much better G1 than he did last year when he was holding the U.S. title. Juice has already defeated Hirooki Goto, Takagi, and Toru Yano. Yano, I'll get into a second. has his only loss so far to Jeff Cobb. So, but yeah, he's at 6 points. There's a big group at 4. Ishii, Takagi, Toriyano, surprisingly enough. Tai Chi's got 4. Naito with 4. And then at the bottom with 2, Jeff Cobb, Hirooki Goto, and the knife pervert himself, Jay White, with only 2 points.
So I shouldn't be wearing my Jay White t-shirt that I got in my pro wrestling crate this week in public.
Jay White beat Jeff Cobb for his only win, lost to Toriyano in 3 minutes.
Yikes.
I need to seek out that match because I missed it. And Toriyano's 4 matches have gone collectively 342.
Of course.
Against Naito, 428 against Juice Robinson, 616 against Takagi, and 3 minutes 4 seconds against Jay White.
That's funny.
So,
has the Switchblade train started slowing down? I feel like it has. I feel like they've finally been like, we need to put it.
I feel like
this.
It has too, and I mean, it could be one of these things where, I mean, still, it's close enough for somebody like Jay White to suddenly go on a run and potentially go up Block B. Potentially, but I don't know. I think I saw somebody on Twitter going, oh, is Jay White finally being booked like the mid-carder he truly is? Like, yeah, it's kind of looking that way. But it's the G1. All things to be unexpected. So
right.
Exactly. It's still early. We're 4 matches in out of 10. So
nice.
And nobody is shut out. So, I mean, that was always... It's always a sad thing every year. Like, you know, you see usually one of the older veterans
mm-hmm.
doesn't have any points and starts to get near the end. I think it was Kojima last year, and Yuji Nagata both mm-hmm. were pushing zeros near the end, and you kind of felt a little bit bad, but. There's not really an older veteran in this group. I mean, Tanahashi is like the elder statesman kind of the group. I mean, him and I guess Fale.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a young G1 this year. And it's
a nice change.
I guess that's why it's all kind of like it's pretty even right now. So
yeah,
it's going to be pretty interesting. And I know it's harder to kind of like, pick up on G1 early on. It gets more exciting near the end when you know, like, you're in that kind of must-win situation where it's almost like, you know, like people who don't necessarily watch baseball in the beginning of the season because it's kind of boring, but when it starts to get close to the playoffs, then you start watching every game. It's kind of the same thing with G1, but I know, I think it's there's a match coming up. I don't know if it's tomorrow or it's coming up soon, I think, where it's I want to say that's not Kenta Tanahashi, it's Kenta Okada, I think, is actually coming up soon instead of near the end, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when you have those two guys that are leading, it's like, oh, how coincidental that they meet the last week of, you know, the last match of G1. It's like, no, they're facing each other relatively early on. So
yeah, cool. Definitely something to watch as always.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, tell the people where they can find you on the internet.
Go on a Twitter machine at Mr. Workrate, at MR Workrate. I don't know. I never know. I always try to think of something clever, like, oh, you can go on this like obsolete platform, but no, that's cool.
Find me on Friendster.
I have a Pluto TV account, but I don't think you can friend anybody there.
No, you can't. You can find me on the internet at JCBOBBITT, JC Bobbitt, wherever finer social media is purveyed. You can find the show on Twitter at Cheaters and VR Pin. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. Give us love all over the world. All over the social media world. Increase
family, I was going to say Family Video is the place that we were talking about. So
okay, cool.
Good. I had to look it up.
Full circle. So next week we'll be back with whatever, because I guess we're still a ways away from SummerSlam, and G1's really the only like big thing going on right now. So
yeah, so
yeah,
we'll have to watch a few more episodes and get back to you on that. And I don't know, maybe we'll take a week off. Who knows?
Ooh.
Or maybe y'all can send us some pin mail and we'll just...
We could do an all pin mail episode. So 10 minutes.
Yeah. 10 minutes, 2 questions.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. We are... You know what we should save that for, Tom? I have to look up the numbers here. I love how we always close the show and then manage to talk for another 5 minutes every week. Let me pull up the numbers here. We're approaching episode 100 of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. This is episode 93.
Woo.
Yeah. So maybe 100 is all pin mail.
Maybe.
That'd be fun. I don't know how that's going to be. That's like, that's going to be like a pay-per-view week or something.
Yeah, there's going to be something...
Something major.
All I know is that when it comes to that 100th episode, I can never forget it.
I feel like you're referencing something that I'm not sure what you're referencing.
Okay. If we dig hard enough, it might be a special treat. But we'll leave it on that.
Yeah, you have to explain that to me. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Cheaters Never Pin podcast. And we'll catch you next week. So I'm JC.
I'm Tom.
And we'll catch you on the flip side.